My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well, if you like, at the Team 980. Okay, we're just after 5 o'clock. Actually, we're farther than we should be after 5 o'clock because the host is very slow at doing a roster projection. He likes to talk too much, but that's okay. Michael Phillips is a patient man, but it's time for Not My Beat. No, that's the wrong button. We don't want to do that. Michael would be excellent for Real Things. At some point, we'll have Michael Phillips guest host Real Things. This is the segment.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Michael, welcome to the Monday edition of the Well-Oiled Machine.
It sounds like my program all of a sudden. I'm stopping and I'm starting and we're turning. I'm driving my producer nuts. Let's talk about the Dow. Let's talk about this. Then we spent 5 minutes talking about the astronauts who are stranded in space.
Is up with the act? We shouldn't go down that rabbit hole. I do want to know. If you want to call back in tomorrow and talk about the tomorrow they got the roster cut at 4 o'clock. You want to call back in Wednesday and talk about the astronauts? Buddy, I am down because I want to know what's up with the astronauts. But
Craig, they're going to be there till February. We got time.
That's a great point. For us, not necessarily for them. Okay, Michael, first, before we get to the football, I did not attend the game last night. You did. Of course, Michael, 910 The Fan down in Richmond, 10 a.m. to noon. Also cosplays a sports writer, something he used to do for real. But he was on the AP beat last night for Wino. So you were at Commander's Field. You got to see the upgrades. You got to see the new stuff. You got to see the things that they fixed to try to make it less of a dump. How is Commander's Field for 2024? What have they actually been able to do?
Yeah, it's cool that they put a lot of money into stuff that will not give them any return at all. I think that's a thing that immediately distinguishes them, in my opinion, from the past regime, is, you know, they put in new carpets and repainted the walls and, you know, fixed some cosmetic stuff where that will never make them a dollar. Like, people who come are going to come, and the people who don't come are still going to not come. But it's just a little nicer. You just feel a little better, like, oh, this isn't a dump. Like, this is a spruced up dump. You know, it's not the Motel 6, it's the Holiday Inn now. And you're like, all right, we took a little step up. We're not where we need to be at all, but we took a little step up in the world. It feels nice, and I appreciate that. And I know, you know, we'll talk about 2030. They're going to be there for 6 more years. That's a lot of football. And so certainly the investments are not unjustified from that perspective. But you wouldn't blame them if they went all in on the new place and just started ignoring the FedEx Commander's Field, whatever we're calling it now. But they didn't. They spruced it up. It's nice.
Yeah, and I will say, I will give Josh Harris a lot of credit too, not just for opening up his very, very large wallet, but I loved actually what he said about this yesterday. He goes, you know, the question was basically like, what do you want fans to feel when they come? And I feel like a lot of owners we want it to be electric. We want it to be amazing. We want them to have a great whatever. And he's like, I want them to feel comfortable. Because going to FedEx Field has been an uncomfortable experience for a long, long time. The product stunk. The place stunk. And while he has put in a lot of money and hired very smart people to fix the product at the very least, like, it cannot also be a terrible experience because of the facilities. And while it's not going to be a great experience because there's only so much you can do with that stadium, the fact that he's, like, comfortable, that's his word, that actually spoke to me quite a bit and speaks to, I think, a lot of the things you just described, Michael.
Yeah, it's a fan base that's been through a lot. And, you know, during the woman who's the, you know, the PA and stadium announcer, she did a Commanders fans, you know, usually say like the best fans in football. She said the most loyal fans in football. I thought that might be right. If you've been through all of that and you're coming back on a Sunday night for a preseason game, pat on the back. Like, yeah, you've been through some stuff. And maybe a little love wouldn't be the worst thing in the world in terms of emotions to provide.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Michael Phillips with us, 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can catch him there daily on the free Odyssey app starting at 10 a.m. So, again, not to like be avoiding the football, but I thought the most consequential thing, the most concrete thing that happens relative to the football last night is the inactive list. A couple of names on it that were surprising to me. What do you make of the strategy to not only not play guys like Jamison Crowder and Michael Davis, who might have, we thought, maybe be a little bit more fringy in terms of the roster, but not play guys like De'Ami Brown, et cetera, who are fighting for minutes and roles, and really just leave it to the, hey, if you're playing, you might not have a 53-player roster spot on Tuesday, guys.
Yeah, I think there is a respect for the veteran guys. I don't know that I'm taking it all the way that they'll make it or won't make it based on the inactives. I think there is a respect, though, of like, hey, we know who you are. The league knows who you are. You don't need to be out there tonight. You know, they were very clear. You talk about consequential. I mean, I think the Josh Harris press conference is far more deserving of radio airtime in the number of topics he addressed and in just the fact that he did it than the game itself. I think from the Patriots side, the game was kind of interesting. You know, Drake May playing a half, the offensive line looking so bad, Jacoby Brissett. From the Commander side, though, I mean, the one thing I loved, you know, you had two guys, defensive tackles, Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway, who, you know, are kind of playing for one spot, and they both made the case for it, and it may end up being two. I don't know how your projection turned out on that. I just love seeing guys rise to the moment and give those big-time performances when it really mattered.
Yeah, I put them both on because yeah. I think they earned it. And I think that maybe by Thursday, Friday, or next Wednesday, they might not both be on. But that gives you a little bit more time to maybe get one of them to practice squad. But I genuinely think that they both could make it. Obviously, we're going to find out a lot more about Johnny Newton's injury in the next couple of days as well. You know, we were just talking about this, Michael. There's a new rule where you can put two guys directly to IR with the designation of return. So if that's a multi-week thing, you have to think that like maybe Newton and McGee go to those spots and they don't have to wait 24 hours anymore. So you can kind of get 55 guys on. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. Is there anything in terms of the roster guys on the bubble? I'm limit this to one guy for us to talk about for now, but you get to pick the guy that you feel very strongly he should be in or very strongly he should be out.
Oh, that's interesting. Feeling very strongly the in or the out. Part of this exercise this year is so many of the ins are going to be unproven talent. It's hard to go to bat for some of these veteran guys who have been around 3-4 years and don't have the production to show it, right? That, you know, this is a team that's very much still building and is going to go young. I am intrigued. I won't weigh in either way because it's an unknown. But at quarterback, is Marcus Mariota hurt or not? I think is a very legitimate question. And that the legitimacy of that question probably decides if Jeff Driscoll's on the 53 or not, which makes it a $350,000 groin injury for Jeff Driscoll in terms of the swing between the practice squad and the 53 salary. That's of consequence to him personally, and I would imagine his family. But more broadly speaking, that's a roster spot for somebody downwind. I continue to be intrigued by the battle at safety. Derek Forrest, I don't think, did himself a lot of favors last night. I'm not prepared to go full hot take here and say he should be out, but I don't know that he's for sure in.
No, we just had him out. Tyler Owens is for sure in. I think Revo's in. But I think it's down to Defoe and Castro Fields for one spot and whether they want to go corner or safety, how much they value each guy's special teams value. Like, I think that's kind of one spot that's on the line. I'll give you mine, Michael. I feel very strongly that Kaz Allen shouldn't make the team. I just think that if you're a guy that's supposed to make the team because you make explosive plays, you should have had to have made one explosive play. Thoughts?
It's a fair standard. The Hoffman standard,
yeah.
Put it up with the gold standard, the Monroe Doctrine, the Geneva Convention, the Hoffman standard. Great moments in history.
The Geneva Convention. Wow.
I went in way over my head there pretty quickly, and I couldn't find a way out.
Yeah, no, that's never happened to you before. I'm absolutely stunned. Michael Phillips with us, 910 The Fan in Richmond, of course. All right, so let's go through a couple of the hot. If you don't have a guy that you're like, I will stand on the table to either kick him out of here or to get him in.
I wish I did. It'd be good radio. Yeah, I don't. So let's roll through your list.
All right, let's roll through a couple of the ones that everyone's talking about. Then running back. Do you keep a fourth? And if so, is it Michael Wiley, Chris Rodriguez?
Look, I like Michael Wiley, and he had an indisputably great preseason. This is part of kind of where I come back to, like, I wish I were more of a hot take artist. Here's what I got for you, Craig. It's really easy to get running backs to the practice squad.
Bingo.
Neither of those guys are going to be poached. There's no strategic advantage to keeping them on the roster when they're clearly not going to get snaps until Brian Robinson or Austin Ekeler gets hurt. I would love to have the debate with you. Who had the better preseason between the two of them? They both looked good at times. They both showed flash at times. It doesn't matter. They're both on the practice squad. They both make it to the practice squad. They both get elevated when they need to. That's the part of this business where it's like, I'd love to go to the mat for one of them, but they could both be on the practice squad, and that's just fine.
Yeah, so that's actually where it gets interesting, though, for me with Kaz Allen, to bring it all together. I backdoored Kaz Allen in this conversation because he's a running back now. Are you really going to have 3 of your 17 guys being on practice squad? 3 of 16, really, because the last practice squad guy is your international pathway player. Are you really going to have 3 of 17 be running backs? Like, that seems like a lot. So, it does become kind of interesting in doing some of that stuff of who they want to keep around and develop. I personally keep Wiley for sure. Like, of the three, he's my number one seed because I think he had an excellent preseason and showed, like, actual real vision, which is kind of, to me, something you can't teach, the whole making people miss thing. So
very, very good preseason. I will co-sign on that.
Yeah, wide receiver, 5, 6, who the hell's the sixth?
Yeah, and right, that this is where I think Jamison Crowder enters the chat. Is there a return element here? Nobody's really tipped what they're going to do on kickoffs. How important are kickoffs? Will there be kickoff returns? I think all of that plays into this discussion as we go down the list here. Also, this is another one where we can have this discussion today, and then we can have this discussion again on Wednesday when they potentially pick up a wide receiver who gets cut, and we're already seeing some early names. There's certainly the chance that I think 6 is the number, and number 6 is a placeholder for guy who they get off the waiver wire as opposed to guy who's actually on this team.
I tend to agree with you, and I think that Crowder, like Dan Quinn basically said last night, if you're healthy and you didn't play, like there's a couple guys that weren't healthy and that's why they didn't play. Trent Scott. But like Crowder's healthy. He didn't play. James Crowder's on the football team. Tight end. Everyone's kept an eye on Cole Turner. He had another mixed bag last night. Colson Yankoff has quietly been really, really good. I tend to think that they'll keep 4 because they want to do a lot of multi-tight end stuff. They don't want to overload Zach Ertz. And Turner and Yankoff both play special teams. The question is, which one is it?
This is great radio because it's just us agreeing with each other back and forth. Yeah, I think they keep 4 as well. I think there's a lot of two tight end sets coming, and that is to provide extra protection and help for Jaden Daniels, right? I think John Bates is going to get more snaps than people think he's going to get because he can block and he can carve out some running lanes for the quarterback. I think those things matter. The other factor, of course, as you mentioned, Zach Ertz, you can't wear out that guy in week 6. You need to make sure you're pacing him for the full 17-game season. This is where you say, coaching change, certainly with the last staff, Cole Turner makes it because he's their guy. He's not Cliff's guy. He's not DQ's guy. He's not really a guy in the preseason, and that's how quickly your fortunes can change in the NFL. I get the sense DQ is very interested in sending the message, show up every day, work hard, we'll reward you. Boy, that sure describes Colson Yankoff. Shows up every day, works hard, does the little things that need to be done. I'd love to see him make this roster because I'd love what it would represent as a team.
Yeah, and the problem is it also represents Cole Turner this preseason. Like, Cole Turner's worked his ass off. Problem is he's still Cole Turner. And, like, that, I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I probably just was, but, like, he played really, really hard, and still there's drops and there's questionable penalties, and he played so hard and gave it his all, and he should be really proud of how he conducted himself, and it still might not be enough, but I guess that's the NFL. All right, Michael, I'm tired of us agreeing with each other, and you said the Josh Harris presser is more interesting anyway, so let's wrap up with this. What was the most interesting thing for you from the Josh Harris presser yesterday?
Well, I do think the headliner is the 2030 date because I think the casual fan isn't as dialed in as we are. And here's that number, and it's jarring. Like, 6 more years at FedEx Field. But it's true, and I'm glad he's setting the expectations appropriately. I think the name thing remains enormously fascinating until it's resolved. I think it might be a hot minute before it's resolved. He spent about a minute 10 answering the name question, and at no point did he say we're rolling with Commanders. I heard what I needed to hear in that.
Yeah, I do too, but I also think that he's 100% right that, like, the people talking about the name, the loudest group, or, like, one, it's a very, very loud vocal minority, but it's also your core fans. So it is the people that care the most, but within that, there's also a group of people that are like, if it's not the old name, then you might as well just run full speed off a cliff because I hate you. And Josh Harris, the one thing he definitively did say is, for obvious reasons, the old name is not coming back. So, like, you're just going to have to give up on that dream. I don't know why you're still having it, but alas, you're going to have to give up. So I think he's correct, though, that the bigger issue, the thing that will actually drive people being able to develop, like, lifelong bonds with the franchise is, can I go to a game and it not be terrible? Which will involve a new stadium, mostly. Hopefully they can get it to, I can go to a game and it can be palatable with the upgrades. But long term, I think he's correct. And so that would, the headlines there, the 2030 date is fascinating. Do you think there's any way that it's before 2030, or is 2030 the absolute earliest, no matter the jurisdiction, no matter what?
I don't want it to be before 2030, because if it opens before 2030, that stadium's in the parking lot in Landover, Maryland. They can build a stadium right there as quickly as they want. They could start tomorrow if they wanted to. That means they've given up on RFK. That means they've given up on dreaming big, and they're going to slap something up. That would make me sad as somebody who wants them to aspire to greatness in this project. So if it's before 2030, I'm probably unhappy with the net result. And your Maryland viewers and listeners remind me all the time of how anti-Maryland I am. I'm not anti-Maryland. You can build it at National Harbor. There's a million places you can build it. Landover is an objectively terrible site for a football stadium. It just is. There are terrible sites in Virginia, too. I'm not partisan here. Dumfries was a terrible site for the stadium as well. I want them to dream big. They think it's going to take a little while to get RFK going. That's okay, because the end result's going to be really good. And to your point about the name, the hardcore fans are the ones making the noise. But I think for Josh Harris, this is about winning new fans as much as it is about satisfying the diehards. I just think Commanders is not a strong enough brand to capture a new generation of fans.
It certainly isn't right now, but let's be honest, if Jaden Daniels is awesome for 5 years as a Commander, then Commander Daniels is going to lead the Washington Commanders into their Commander's future, because you build brand identity by engendering positive feelings or negative feelings. And so far, everything about Commanders has been the Dan Snyder fiasco and thus negative. And if they can generate for 5 straight years positive associations of feelings with Commanders, then that's going to change. Like, the name objectively stinks. I'm not trying to defend the actual name itself.
Thank you.
Just a realist about the situation and, like, how, like, is Bears good? Like, what are we talking about here? You know?
I want to like it. I want to get on board because it's easier than going through this again, but no pressure, kid. Jaden Daniels, it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah, that, of course. It's, you know, whatever. I don't know. I would like a new one, too. I'd like something they can shorten into a cool nickname. Like,
yep.
There's There's definitely available for upgrade. It just is not as simple as I think people realize. But we'll see. The one thing I will say to defend the honor of Landover, Michael, I do think that Wes Moore and like the county council and like folks in that area want to remake that in the way that Dan Snyder promised he would and absolutely never did. And I think Harris is much more likely to be a good partner there. If they do it in that area, it's got to be closer to Metro. Like you can't have a 30-minute walk from the stadium to the Metro. That's not tenable. If you can move it halfway closer at least, or build some kind of extension off of the Silver Line that only works on game day. Like, I am not a civil engineer, so I'm gonna need smarter people to figure that out. But Landover itself as a site, if you upgrade the area around the stadium, Landover itself continues to grow. And you can get it close to Metro is not actually as terrible as, frankly, a lot of other sites that have been proposed.
Metro gets us closer, yeah. It's watching the fans walk into the Metro at midnight last night, it's not a good situation. And it's a tough location off the Beltway for weeknight events and games. You think about it, they want to host non-football events at this new stadium. Can you ask a bunch of people from Alexandria to come out to a business dinner there on a Wednesday night? Or are they going to say, look, that's an hour and a half away. I'll catch the next one. I think that's where the Metro access is really, really, really big for that site.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And then again, where in the DMV can you get to from Alexandria? All due respect to the folks in Alexandria, which is why, Ted, it was a terrible idea. Okay, now we've switched topics. Michael Phillips, everybody, 910 The Fan in Richmond, 10 a.m. to noon on weekdays. You can also read his report from last night in the Associated Press, which is distributed everywhere. That's kind of the AP's deal. Okay, Michael, thank you kindly. We'll talk to you not next Monday because it's Labor Day and we're not working, but 2 Mondays from now, we'll talk about a football game, a real regular season football game.
My goodness, I can't wait. This kid's going to be fun. I don't think they're going to win, but I think we're going to have a lot of fun on the journey.
Hey, I'm here for fun. Michael Phillips, everybody, he's also here for fun. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, speaking of fun, it's going to be a fun night at Nats Park, and the Nationals are going to have Dylan Cruz make his debut. We go to Nats Park. Toby Altizer joins us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We finally broke the curse of Anthony Haney. We will discuss coming up at 5:45, but right now we head down the street to Nats Park, where we find our pal Toby Altizer, host of the Bust and Loose Baseball Podcast. Of course, a fine Odyssey sports production. Toby, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Craig? I was hoping that I could give you some nice sounds of cracks of bats from Yankees batting practice, but they're already done, so maybe you hear some mowers and various things, but no crack of the bat.
Oh, that's such a shame. Oh, you're fired, Toby. No, you're not. The Yankees, they're all fired. So tonight, the reason we're talking to Toby, if you haven't heard, you lost this news over the weekend. Dylan Cruz set to make his debut for the Nationals, the number 2 pick out of LSU. Yes, that does sound familiar. Toby, how surprised are you that Dylan Cruz is making his debut before Jaden Daniels officially makes his?
Not really. I'm not. I expected to see him at some point this season. There was maybe a chance that If he would have been a little bit better in the minor leagues, not to say that he's bad, but if he would have been on fire, maybe you could have seen him a little bit earlier, closer to a James Wood timeline, like in July or earlier in August. But now, at this point in the season, I think it made sense to get him called up. And I saw that Jaden Daniels had sent a video over to the Nationals congratulating him. So, you know, I think this made a lot of sense for this year coming out. And he's basically performed well at each level that he's gone through in the minor leagues. And he maybe hasn't dominated like we saw James Wood do, but overall, each level he's been at, he's been really, really good. So I think this made a lot of sense.
All right, so give us the scouting report on Cruz. Obviously, extremely highly touted. He went number two behind Paul Skeens, the pitcher who's already up for the Pirates and just destroying everything in his path, started the All-Star game. How good is Cruz? Like, what should we know about him?
Yeah, I think you can do a little bit of everything. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch because he'll fit in with the base running. The Nationals are one of the top teams in baseball. He's actually been a bit of a revelation on the base paths with his ability to steal bags. He didn't do a whole lot of that at LSU. I think that was more so an LSU philosophy than him not being able to do it. And he's come up and he's run a lot. He's been fantastic defensively. He, you know, profiles as a guy that can play in center field, but you've got a guy in Jacob Young that's been playing Gold Glove center field, so he'll play right for this year, and that'll be a discussion for years going forward. But he can be a fantastic Gold Glove caliber center fielder. And then at the plate, he's someone that can do a little bit of everything. He's not necessarily going to be a 40 homer guy like you saw with a James Wood, where, you know, he can just absolutely mash the ball. But he's going to be a doubles machine and a guy that just hits the ball all over the ballpark. And I think he's, in essence, a five-tool player in that he can do literally everything. I don't know that there's anything that he is exceptional at, but there's also nothing that he's bad at. And I think he's someone that's going to be a stalwart for this team for a long time.
Toby Altizer, Bustin' Loose Baseball. Check out the podcast for full coverage of everything Nationals, including much more on tonight's debut for Dylan Cruz. And, of course, they'll have reaction afterwards as well. All right, Toby, let's hop in a time machine here. The year is 2028. The Nationals are in the World Series. Everybody's really excited. Who's the best player on the team? Because you got Wood, you got Cruz, you got some other prospects that are have either come up, guys like CJ Abrams, obviously, who have been up for a while now. And really, I guess he was up for the entire time that he's been here. But Abrams, you got some other guys coming through the system. 2028, let's say the Nats are in the World Series. Like, what's the pecking order in terms of expectation of where all these guys pan out in their major league careers?
Yeah, I think that James Wood is going to be their best player. I would not be surprised if he's a guy that in the future is, we're talking about MVPs with James Wood. I think with Dylan Cruz, we're talking perennial all-star, maybe not MVP numbers. So I think the best player is going to be Wood. I think that the vocal leader, you know, we had this discussion. It's rang true in my mind a lot. When James Wood made his debut, you had me on, and you asked me, the final question you asked me was, you know, what's the relationship going to be between the fans and James Wood? And James Wood's much more quiet. We've seen that at the major league level. Like, he's not very outspoken. He's not going to be very brash. But Nats fans are used to a Bryce Harper, a Juan Soto. They're different in their own ways, but they're very outgoing, whereas I think Dylan Cruz is going to fit right in right there. So, you know, James Wood, I think, is going to be the best player on this baseball team, but it would not surprise me at all if you see more number three Dylan Cruz jerseys, because he's going to be the personality. I think he's going to be the lifeblood of the team, and people are going to gravitate toward him just because of the emotion he's going to show and the leadership he's going to bring to this ball club.
So, do you think that this might be such a stupid question, but like, since we're talking about it and the star power and all that kind of stuff, like, Daniels and Cruz are both number two picks. They're from LSU. They know each other. They have a relationship. They're about to make their debuts 2 weeks apart. Like, are we talking about these two guys coming up together in the way? I guess it's really not a stupid question because there's precedent. Like, Bryce Harper and John Wall, like, they didn't have the connection, but there was this moment in DC sports history where everything felt good, Toby, and it didn't quite turn out that way, although the Nats did ultimately win a World Series after Harper left. But, you know, this moment of like, okay, everyone's in a rebuild. There's hope. There's promise. The fact that these two do have an existing relationship and we talk about Cruz's star power, is there something there of kind of this moment of excitement and looking towards the future and the possibility of these two young players that happen to be number two picks from the same school growing together?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, like you said, the connection there is easy, where you've got two number two overall picks out of LSU, and both are kind of tasked with turning their franchise around. And, you know, for the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, he's more so asked to do something that hasn't been done in a long, long time, whereas Dylan Cruz is more so asked to jump in and help out with some of the guys that have been brought over in that Soto deal and get things to where they were just 5 or 6 years ago. So I absolutely think that they're going to be able to grow together, and it's something where I think Jaden might be more the driving force than what Dylan Cruz will be here, because I think, like I said, that Wood will be the best player. But I think both of them also have a personality that a lot of fans here in the DMV are going to gravitate towards. So I think that will be a fun storyline to keep an eye on. And, you know, it's cool, too, seeing the crossover that you've had between the two teams over the last 2 years. You know, maybe they go further in on marketing the fact that you've got two number two picks out of LSU, and they're kind of the driving forces behind these rebuilds.
And then last but not least, Toby, because no one's ever satisfied with right now, who's the next guy? Like, we kind of, when Wood came up, we're like, okay, like, this is a huge deal, but also Dylan Cruz is right around the corner. Like, this is going to be fun. September call-ups are right around the corner. Is there anyone else that Nats fans or people that might want to check in on this team in September to get a little bit of a feel for, you know, maybe jumping back into the Nats pool big time next year, that they should be looking forward to the rest of this season, let's say?
Yeah, the rest of this year, I don't know that there's going to be any bigger names than what you're getting with Dylan Cruz. I think Brady House is the next big prospect, but I'm not sure that you'll see him this season. But I think, you know, Dylan Cruz is going to be fun to watch, and then James Wood. If you want a name to watch, maybe there's a guy like Brad Lord, who's a pitcher that's really emerged. Maybe that's a guy that could come up, but he's not as highly touted as a prospect. But I think this is kind of their plan to get these guys going so that, you know, next year comes spring training, they're going to be ready to roll, and theoretically, this team is competing maybe as early as next season, and those guys are going to be the driving force. So I don't know that there's anybody big time coming up the rest of this year, but I think Cruz and Wood and Abrams and those guys are going to be fun enough to watch.
It does feel like the hole in that plan is the pitching staff still needs to be built out more. All these amazing prospects, all field players. Where does Mike Rizzo go to get the pitching? Are there some guys maybe farther down that are a year or two away, or is this, you know, maybe this is the winter we're in the Nats with maybe the Lerner's not quite looking to sell anymore, and like, okay, hey, these young guys are up and we're ready, that Mike Rizzo dives back into the free agent pool and tries to bring in a couple of vets?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I think the guy that has been the biggest revelation in the entire system has been a guy named Travis Sikora. He was a third-round draft pick by the Nats last year out of high school, and he's looking like an ace. Now, he's only pitching in Fredericksburg. It's his first year as a professional, so they're kind of just going through it very slowly as he's coming out of high school, so they're kind of just getting him through a full year just to experience it. But he's been fantastic. Matter of fact, he was part of a combined no-hitter down in Fredericksburg a couple of weeks ago, and basically over his last month and a half, he's been looking like a real ace. Now, it's something they're going to have to continue to develop him, but I think you're spot on that's the part that's missing. And there's maybe only two guys that profile as aces in the organization. One's Mackenzie Gore. He's already at the big league level, hasn't pitched like it yet, so they're going to have to continue to develop him. And Sikora, and like I said, he's still a ways away from the bigs, so they're going to have to continue to develop him. So I think, you know, if they wanted to spend this offseason, I think that would make some sense, assuming they're not going to go with, Juan Soto coming back to Nats Park and trying to lure him back, you know, with this series here and some of the fans showing him some love. But I think that's definitely the place that they would have to spend, because they really lack that frontline guy, but they almost have an abundance of guys that are 3 through 5 type starters, maybe fit in somewhere in the bullpen. So I think they're good in terms of that, but they do lack that ace. So they're going to have to find it somewhere, whether it's going out and spending some money, which they haven't necessarily done, or they're going to have to get Gore to pitch at a level like that, and Sikora is going to have to come down the line and pitch like that as well.
Seems like there's some options, though. Hopefully one of them hits. That is the hard part about baseball, is very, very rarely is the sure thing the sure thing. But Dylan Cruz made his way pretty darn quickly through the minor leagues, and he'll make his debut tonight at Nats Park. Toby Altizer will be there, and then he will produce a podcast, presumably, later this week about it. Just search Bustin' Loose in your favorite podcast app. Toby, enjoy the game, my friend, and thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it, Craig.
That is Toby Altizer, everybody. When we get back, before we get back to the Commanders at the top of the hour with our pick six, it's finally over. The curse of Haney has been broken. How did it all go down Friday night? Show field trip adventure story time next. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we're presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right. The night was Friday night. It is after we last left our heroes. Anthony, we're the heroes in this story.
Yes, sir.
I did the show at ESA. It was a really great time. And then you made actually a really good time to get over to ESA. And then we put it all on the line. It had been at least a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. So far that we had lost track since Anthony Haney saw a team that he was rooting for win in person. We're talking Commanders games. We're talking Mystics games. We're talking Wizards games. We're talking, we took this thing out of state. He went to Indianapolis and Houston and watched Zaire Franklin, his best friend in the Colts, lose. And it just seemed like Anthony was cursed. We invited him to Washington Spirit games. He saw the real test was a game in which the Spirit were losing the entire time that Anthony was there, and then he left the building and they tied it. So they tied the game and he didn't see it. So we asked Croy Bethune herself, the NWSL Rookie of the Year to be, who, by the way, notched another assist in her first game back as the NWSL returned this weekend. She is now tied for the NWSL record. There's 2 months left in the season, and she's a rookie. Not the rookie record, Anthony. She has tied the NWSL assist record, something that you haven't seen any part of, because when Croy invited you back, they lost again. They've barely lost all year. They're now second in the table, and the two games that are two of the like three or four games that they haven't won all year, you've been there for. And yet, on Friday night, with the Sparks in town, the one team that has been worse than the Mystics this year, we figured this was an opportunity to see. Has Anthony just gotten unlucky with the Spirit? And other than that, and the Colts, mostly just seen bad teams play? Because the 2023 Commanders were not very good. There weren't a lot of wins to see. Same with the 2023 Wizards. Obviously, it's been a much tougher than anticipated year thanks to a bunch of injuries for the Mystics. So maybe it's not Anthony. Sparks were a good test. And Anthony, they did it. They broke the curse. Our guy was ecstatic. Anthony, you're allowed to go to sports again! Yay!
Almost tears of joy, Craig. That's how happy I was when the final buzzer sounded at ESA. And I'm not going to lie, you asked me, like, I want to say 5 minutes before the end of the game, whether or not, or what my confidence level that, you know, the Mystics were going to pull it off, because I think they had created, like, an 8-point lead or something of that.
It was like a 10-point lead. 10. Although the Sparks immediately went to the line and hit two free throws, so it was down to 8.
Yeah. And then they hit another shot, so I'm like, oh, see, this is why no lead is safe when Anthony Haney is in the building. But the Mystics end up weathering the storm, and Brittany Sykes, that's who I really got to thank.
Not only did they weather the storm, but this curse was smashed by our Syracuse sister.
Yes.
Brittany Sykes, best player on the Mystics. If she had been healthy this year, there's no way this team is sitting at the bottom of the standings like they are. And it really happened in one moment. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who the player it was. Oh, I think it was De'Erica Hamby. Drove. And B. Sykes came out from the weak side, man, and just absolutely volleyball spiked her shot. Just like one of the sickest, most like disrespectful blocks I've ever seen in the WNBA. Just got it. And that was, by the way, on top of a 27-point performance. Sykes, by the way, super emotional in the locker room afterwards. She was presented the hard hat by none other than Elena Beard, whose jersey was retired at halftime on Friday. But Slim has been battling injury. Just when she came back, she got hurt again. It's really tested her. So, and a more serious and more important, if anything could be more important than the streaks note, congrats to Slim and for showing everybody exactly who you are. Tremendous play out of her. But, Anthony, you can thank your Syracuse sister. The fellow Orange bailed you out and really led, along with a double-double from one of our other show favorites, Shakira Austin, to victory.
Yeah, she definitely did her. I actually texted her after the game. I said thank you.
Did you really?
I actually did.
Did she say anything back?
Yeah, she responded to me.
You have to explain the curse?
No, we didn't text back and forth that much because I already know she had a busy evening and things of that nature. So
yeah,
it was, you know, something quick.
They had to get on the road. They're in Seattle tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely shouted her out. And I told her she's really locked because we were courtside. And I want to say, like, it was one time, like, she was walking directly towards Craig and I. And she was just so locked in the game. Like, she didn't look at the crowd or anything because I'm like, if you just look up, you would have seen, you know, two orange men, like, right there in front of you.
Next time we should wear Syracuse basketball shirts. Oh, I don't know that I have any.
Might have
anymore.
To, some orange.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good call. We got to get Syracuse women's basketball shirts, and we'll wear them next time we sit in those seats. And then we'll be like, hi, Slim! we need to get Slim on the show when they get back on the East Coast.
Yes, sir.
We'll work on that for later in the week. But more importantly, the curse is over. So, Anthony, that begs the question. Football season, you got the end of the Mystic season, you got Wizards starting up soon, you got the end of the Spirit, because I know you wanted to get back at Audi again, and God, they look good on Saturday. You should definitely want to go see them play, because what an entertaining and good team they're going to be for the playoff stretch here, or the run to the playoffs, and then hopefully a deep run in it. Like, what's on your to-do list now? What games are you going to go see?
I got to check the Spirit schedule. I'm missing the Colts home opener against the Texans. That's the game I really wanted to go to, but I have a wedding to go to the day before, so I can't make it happen. So I can definitely, you know, try to check the Spirit schedule and the Mystic schedule.
Okay. Do you have any Commanders game circled?
The Giants, they play the 15th, I know. What am I doing the 15th? If I don't have a football game, I will be there.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. If I don't have a football game, I'll be there on the 15th.
At your favorite local sporting event, look out. Anthony Haney might come, and you don't have to fight him. So that's good. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, our pick six, we picked six good ones on Friday to keep our eye on. How did they do, and how will it affect their status on the 53? We'll give our best guess on our guesses next on the Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.